Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to eClerx Services Limited Q4 and full year FY16 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohitash Gupta, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning to participants joining this call from across the globe. I welcome you all to the eClerx earnings call for the fourth fiscal quarter of FY16 and full year ending 31st March 2016. It has been a very good year on all fronts in comparison to last year, where we saw one of the lowest organic growths and operating margin. In FY16, we demonstrated solid business growth in an environment of considerable business uncertainty. Your company grew revenue by 34% in constant currency terms, out of which roughly 15% of the growth came from acquisition of CLX Europe. While the organic growth of about 19% came once again mainly from our fast-growing cable and telecom business. Digitization has been transforming marketing and service-oriented operations around the world, and it is now possible to digitally run the front end of our customer value chain. This trend gives nimble and well-positioned companies like ours a great chance to unlock value and deepen client relationships. We managed to do this in our digital services business, where we added a creative suite of services for tapping spends by our clients on digital marketing, communication, and advertising. A number of our clients in financial services continue to undergo substantial change thanks to automation, regulatory changes, corporate actions, and operations consolidation. This led to muted overall growth in our business with banks, as they continue to take longer time to decide on new spends due to volatile business conditions. There has been an overall shift in demand towards higher value-added services focused on business change and re-engineering, and we are making necessary adjustments in our service delivery model to tackle that. We also continue to set important industry benchmarks in innovation and service excellence, and these have earned us recognition. For example, we got the coveted DataQuest Business Technology Award for Analytics Center of Excellence. eClerx also was 2015 Most Admired Knowledge Enterprise Award winner for both India as well as Asia for our knowledge management practices. Our mobile-enabled employee transport management system was selected as an industry best practice during the CIO 100 Awards. We were recognized at the Asia Outsourcing Excellence Awards for use of information technology for operations excellence. And we were finalists in four categories at the National Outsourcing Awards for 2015 for our projects for digital channel conversion rate optimization, customer care center auditing, and data management for digital replatforming. As we have discussed in the past, we have undertaken four main initiatives of late to keep our business agile and relevant in this fast-changing environment. First, we are refocusing on key client partnerships with a much more disciplined approach to ensure our clients have access to our full set of capabilities as a firm, as opposed to individual services and verticals. This approach is well supported by the fact that we continue to enjoy industry-leading net promoter scores amongst our clients. Second, we are focused on global delivery by looking beyond the shores of India. As clients increasingly look for service partners for co-creating solutions, they demand more intimate business knowledge and more interactive support. And this needs us to focus on increasing client location service delivery. We are happy to report that our centers at Verona in Italy and Phuket in Thailand are now completely integrated with core operations in India, which is an important milestone in our journey towards creating global delivery capability. Third, we have deepened our focus on analytics by creating a center of excellence for delivering advanced analytics-based decision-making capabilities to our clients, as well as for blending sophisticated analytics in our core business process management offerings. Our client focus has shifted from managing data to extracting value, gaining insights, and of course, ensuring that more revenue accrue to them from data, big or otherwise. Fourth and finally, as pervasive automation replaces recursive tasks, we are refocusing our technology efforts to ensure that we capitalize on emerging opportunities such as robotics, to innovate our operations. In this regard, we are developing automation, partnering with established platforms, and investing heavily on training. We see a great opportunity to deliver value to our clients by adding this skill set of robotics to our delivery framework, as it allows substantial reduction in risk and cost to our clients, whilst opening new revenue opportunities for us. Additionally, we will continue to advance adoption rate of our digital asset management platform Fluid 4 across our client base. Moving on to our financial performance, I will focus more on full year performance as that smoothens out many of the quarterly fluctuations due to provisions and estimates. Our operating revenue in FY16 was $199.4 million, which is roughly 30% up year over year, while our total revenue at 1,355 crores grew by 39% year over year. The organic dollar and organic constant currency year over year growth was 15 and 19% respectively. As indicated in previous quarters, we have been expecting roll-off of certain legacy work as well as substantial number of short-term projects, which caused our Q4 dollar revenue to decline by about 2% sequentially. We believe that this trend of flattish revenue will continue into early part of FY17, leading us to slower organic growth in FY17. We expect the relative order of segment-wise growth in FY17 to remain as cable, followed by digital, followed by financial services, much like it has been in FY16. The operating margin percentage for the year is 33% compared to 28% in FY15 and 38% in FY14. The impact of lower TLX margin was more than offset by currency depreciation, change in goodwill amortization policy, and improved cost control across the board during FY16. We expect operating margin to moderate in FY17 due to expected slower growth and increased investment in our four strategic initiatives that I outlined earlier. The profit after tax for this year is 363 crores, which is about 58% higher than last year. As most of you will recall that we have distributed around 50% of profit after tax to shareholders every year, and we will make efforts to maintain that in future. We have traditionally distributed cash to shareholders via dividend, although we have also tried buyback with limited success around 2 years back. We have seen few regulatory changes over the year around various cash distribution methods, and we will continue to look for efficient methods to achieve the same target payout ratio in future. We are currently undergoing court-approved merger process for one of our subsidiary with eClerk Services Limited, and that restricts our choices at present. In light of these facts, we are announcing only a token dividend of 1 rupee per share at this time, and we will inform you of any further progress over next few quarters. In another development that may interest you, we have limited the number of employees who participate in company's ESOP scheme going forward. We have added long-term cash incentives to erstwhile ESOP beneficiaries that may create a P&L impact of 2 to 3 crores in FY17. The ESOPs will henceforth be given only to top management constituting about less than 60 people at present, and it will amount to maximum potential dilution of 0.8% as opposed to 2% per year previously. Lastly, we are planning to set up an employee trust where the ESOP grantees in top management will be able to exercise their options via this trust for ESOPs granted from now onwards. When operational, this trust is authorized to buy shares from market as per shareholders' approval received in last annual general meeting, and it will help company to reduce the quantum of fresh allotment of shares against exercise of future ESOPs. On the other income front, the investment income reduced significantly from 21 crores last year to 9 crores in FY16 due to significant outgo on account of CLX acquisition at the start of the year, and also due to now lowered yields on debt instruments. The hedge gain loss became negligible this year, as the gains on three AS30 hedges were nearly offset by the mark-to-market changes. Further, because we have bound up all the pre-AS30 hedges, we will no longer need to show this line item. The revaluation and realized gain jumped to 32 crores in FY16 from 4.5 crores in previous year, mainly due to INR depreciation of 6% and 11% against dollar and euro respectively between the last 2 year ends, and also due to addition of CLX, which has increased our mix of foreign currency assets undergoing revaluation now. Our forward hedge book is at $125 million, with an average strike rate of 70.73 rupees to a dollar, which has moved up by almost half a rupee to a dollar since Q3. Based on hedges booked till now, we expect that at least 94 million worth of inflows will convert into operating revenues at about 70 rupees to a dollar during FY17. Just to remind you, our hedging strategy continues to follow programmatic layering of hedges every month end to cover roughly 60% of current annualized revenue run rate. Moving to detailed P&L, the employee cost in FY16 increased by 130 bps year over year as a proportion of operating revenue due to addition of CLX, which was partially offset by lower offshore employee additions and reduction in salary cost per offshore employee. On the other hand, SG&A costs as proportion of operating revenue for CLX are lower than rest of eClerx, and that was the major driver for year-over-year SG&A cost decline of 490 bps. 110 bps out of which was purely due to one-off legal costs for CLX acquisition during FY15. Additional reason for this SG&A leverage was relatively lower addition of new seats during the year and growth in cable business, wherein ramp-up of sales team happened largely in FY15 itself. The sharp employee cost decline in Q4 in absolute terms was on account of 1. Roll-off of low-margin onshore projects during Q3, for which the onshore delivery cost got completely eliminated in Q4. And number 2, gratuity and leave encashment revaluations with latest assumptions for offshore employees. Similarly, the absolute quarter-on-quarter decrease in selling and distribution costs was driven by lower bonus provisions for sales and business development staff in Q4 as adjusted for low quarterly revenue performance during the quarter. Overall, the client pricing remained largely stable through FY16 despite severe OPEX pressures on many of our clients. We had 545 crores of cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year, which is a substantial increase from 326 crore at the end of Q3, and more than 85% of this cash balance resides in India. Our net operating cash flow during FY16 was 425 crores versus 243 crores in FY15. The capex during FY16 remained at same absolute level as in FY15 at about 48 crores despite 30% growth in top line dollar revenue between the years. We have spent about 5.8 crores on various CSR activities, mainly related to child, education, health, and we have also added few new initiatives to support farmers facing severe drought conditions in Maharashtra. We have now earmarked a budget of 6.5 crores for supporting similar CSR projects during FY17. Our business concentration metrics like geographical and currency share of US and US dollar respectively have improved to 74% and 68% this year, mainly due to addition of CLX. The DSO remained at lower end of historical 70 to 80 day range at about 73 days. Staff utilization in FY16 was at high level of 67% due to increased scale in cable business and effect of short-term projects where a larger proportion of bench could have been utilized. However, this utilization is likely to come down in FY17 for reasons discussed earlier. We will be reporting the top 5 concentration for the last time now and would move to reporting and tracking top 10 concentration as our next frontier. The top 5 and top 10 concentration stands at 57% and 77% respectively. Lastly, as our offerings becomes more productized with time, we will continue to improve our mix of non-FTE business by leveraging analytics, platforms, consulting and robotics. In all, we have added 19 clients in $500,000 plus bucket this year, more than half of which were contributed by CLX from retail and luxury segment. Overall, the FY16 list of 40 clients in $500,000 plus dollar bucket category consists of 27 clients from digital, 9 from financial services and 4 from cable. Top 10 clients have shown a year-over-year constant currency growth of about 14% this year, while emerging clients, which now refers to non-top 10 clients, have shown a constant currency organic growth of 38%. The top 10 client growth was primarily driven by cable clients, while emerging growth was broad-based across digital and assets. Top 10 client growth rate has been volatile for last few years as these clients have been undergoing corporate actions, environmental changes coupled with maturation of our legacy services. Although average headcount during this year has increased by 14%, the year-end headcount shows less than 10% increase compared to FY15 end, which obviously is much lower than corresponding revenue growth during the year due to addition of PLX, improvement in offshore utilization and lower growth anticipated for early part of FY17. Our sales and business development staff continued, the counts continued to remain flat through this year in early 80s. And the year-over-year decline that you see from 89 to 80 is primarily due to reclassification of onshore roles engaged in partial delivery roles. The India attrition stood at 33.7% for the year, which is highest we have seen in last 5 years. Part of this high attrition is also reflective of roll-offs of short-term and special skills projects during the year. We are training our key employees on analytics and robotics and hope that current and prospective employees will find eClerks much more attractive learning organization in due time. Like every year, we have given wage hikes effective 1st April 2016 to our employees. The average increment for eligible employees was 10% and 4% respectively for offshore and onshore, very similar to last year. Our effective tax rate for FY16 has been between 23 and 24% as expected, and we anticipate similar range for next year. As you might know, we will adopt Ind AS standards in FY17, and we are currently studying the impact of same on reported financials for next quarter and next year. And we will inform you through a release if we determine any significant impact on reported financials for Q1 or later. With this, I will hand over the call back for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please proceed. Mr. Manik Taneja, your line is unmuted. You may please proceed with your question. Mr. Manik Taneja, so we'll take our next question. The next question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Sir, what method of dividend distribution are in your mind and when it will be distributed? Any time frame is there?
Hey, PD, do you want to take this call?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Hi, this is PD. As Rohitash mentioned during his opening remarks,
yes,
we've had a policy of returning 50% cash to shareholders,
right? Definitely,
which we expect to continue this year and in future years.
Okay.
As he also mentioned, in the past, we have looked traditionally at dividends, and we have occasionally also looked at share buybacks.
Right.
So in this year, you know, I think we have a range of two or three instruments that we can look at. We have dividends, including interim dividends. We have share buybacks. And as you also mentioned, we have our ESOP trust that once operational will be buying shares from the market against exercise of options by employees. So we will have more clarity as to the relative contributions of each of those three routes. But by the time we meet, you know, for our Q2 or Q3 earnings call, we shall be able to share a further update. But again, I think the main point I'd like to reiterate is that we remain committed to maintaining our 50% payout ratios in the future as well.
Okay. And thanks. In compared to March 15 to March 16, net profit margin rises almost 50%. But always you tell we will not rise, company top line will not rise and it will remain flattish. Sir, any reason to talk so moderate about the growth of the company?
PD, that's you as well. Thank you.
Okay. You know, all I would say is that when we share any kind of qualitative guidance about the future, it is based on whatever knowledge we have about our pipeline as well as project endings at that point in time.
Okay.
So our intention is not to deliberately have either a pessimistic or an optimistic bias, but we are just sharing our view of what the near-term future looks like.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, our look or our visibility into the next quarter or two is much better than than any guidance we might give about further away periods in time. So, for example, if you look at the end of Q2, we had shared a statement in our earnings call that we expect the second half Q4 exit to be more or less similar to the Q2 number, right, which I think it largely was. You saw a decline in revenues quarter on quarter between Q3 and Q4. So all I would say is, you know, we are a small company and therefore individual client events, both in terms of growth or in terms of project endings, do have disproportionate effect on our revenues and margins. So within that constraint, we try and share, you know, as realistic a guidance as we can. That's at least the attempt.
So are you giving any guidance for financial year 17 also?
Yes. So Rohitash alluded to this in his opening remarks. We expect the first half of the year to be a little soft. Again, the first two quarters, because we have some projects that are going to continue to end in this period of time.
Okay.
But hopefully in the second half of the year, we should again see growth pick up a little. So okay. Beyond that, we're not giving a specific numeric guidance. I think it is, you know, again, it's safe to say that our organic growth in FY17 will be lower than FY16. FY16 was the highest we've had in a long time, 15% dollar growth and 18-19% organic constant currency growth.
Right.
Given the soft start in FY17, it's clearly mathematically impossible for us to get anywhere close to those numbers. So it will be lower than last year, but we expect things to improve in the second half.
Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss. Please proceed.
Hello.
Mr. Agarwal, may we request you to speak up a bit loud? Your voice is not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you may please proceed.
Yeah, there has been a substantial drop in the employee cost in 4Q. And Rohitash alluded it to be because of a lower salary expense to a few offshore employees. Could you tell me how do we see the trajectory of the employee cost going ahead in FY17? Will there be a pressure or will they act as a margin lever? And how do we see the demand environment specifically to the financials, the top 10 clients which have grown at only 14%?
So, Piri, do you want to take the employee costs and I'll take the demand question?
Sure. So, I think, you know, Rohitash again might have alluded to this in his opening remarks. We make provisions during the year for estimated payouts on a number of fronts, including bonuses and, you know, statutory liabilities like gratuity and so on. And those numbers actually only get finalized in the fourth quarter when either actuarial valuations are done or bonuses are finally determined. So in that sense, in Q4, when we did the true-up of the numbers, there was a lower charge that we ended up incurring because of these variable payouts to employees, point one. Point two, you know, we had a number of short-term projects running in the second half of the year where we were able to opportunistically utilize some of our bench resources and not have to hire incremental headcount against those projects. So these were the two main factors, I think, in my mind, which contributed to a lower employee cost in Q4. As we go ahead in FY17, I would expect our employee costs and operating margins to start reverting back to their longer-term means.
Iske baad bhi kar lenge. Ye toh...
Yeah. Anjan, I don't know if you want to talk about the second point around demand outlook.
So the financial services clients, it's no secret, are going through a life-changing period. Regulation, automation, change in business, the emergence of fintech means that our clients are under a tremendous amount of pressure from the revenue side. That's translating to what they're willing to spend and how often they're willing to spend. So we continue to see demand moving towards higher value-add services that are aligned to business change, automation implementation, and consolidation efforts. So, you know, we do see demand, but it's obviously lower than what we've seen in the past in the go-go years of financial markets. Hi, did you get that answer?
Yeah, that's good.
Does that answer your questions, Mr. Agarwal?
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashi Bhushan from IDFC Securities. Please proceed.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my question, sir. Despite a strong seasonality, our commentary is a little muted for first half. Is there any client-specific challenges that you would like to highlight apart from the project closer that you alluded to?
Piri?
Yeah, hi, Shashi. No, I don't think it's attributable to any one client over another, but across our portfolio, we have a number of, we see some projects that are ending, and, I think also from a pipeline perspective in terms of new projects going live, we think that the first half of this year is going to be muted. So we are just sharing with you the sum total of our pipeline of opportunities as well as, sort of roll-offs.
Sir, and just one bookkeeping question on, can you please help me reconcile the difference between consolidated P&L and the standalone? Because our standalone revenue has grown well over the last few quarters, whereas revenue outside standalone has declined over the last two quarters.
So, Sashi, I think in last quarter or last to last quarter, we mentioned that one of our large cable clients has requested us to make the contract with Keyclerk Services limited entity, which is the parent entity and has much larger and stronger balance sheet and delivery capabilities. And because of which, certain business which was earlier getting booked in subsidiaries got now booked to India parent entity, which is the standalone entity.
Okay. And also on the margin bridge for the year, we have nearly 8% currency depreciation, aided our margin by around 310 basis point, implying almost 40 basis point for each percent movement. Shouldn't it be higher compared to our higher offshore mix?
So, Sashi, these are the numbers that we have based on our mix of business, both onshore and offshore. Just keep in mind that we have much larger onshore mix, especially courtesy of CLX. So the sensitivities may not exactly remain same in FY16 and going ahead versus what you may have seen in FY15 and back.
But in FY17, it would be more or less like 40 basis point for each percent point movement in currency as of now.
Correct. The operating margin sensitivity for 1% of currency effect is around 40 basis, correct?
Yeah. Thanks, sir, and all the best for FY17.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Kapadia from Fortune Interfinance. Please proceed.
Hello.
Mr. Kapadia, you may please proceed with your question.
Good evening, sir. Hello. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
Just wanted to know, okay, like, are you looking for any acquisition because you are seeing a flattish revenue growth and you are having a considerable amount of cash and equivalent into your balance sheet?
Piri, do you want to take that one?
I think we are constantly looking for acquisitions because we do believe that in our industry, there are a large number of assets or companies out there who have built very attractive niche businesses but may not be able to scale for a variety of reasons, and so the shareholders might be contemplating exits. And we think that adding on such assets onto our platform is a win-win for both sides, and some of our capabilities will allow us to accelerate growth of those companies. That has been the philosophy behind the Agilist acquisition and the CLX one. So we continue looking for acquisitions. There's a fair amount of deal flow. Our finance office under Rohitash keeps looking at companies. And this is not connected to faster or slower organic growth. It's an independent activity. Obviously, the cash flow that we generate and the cash balances that we have make this easier for us to execute. But it's not linked with rates of organic growth. We acquired CLX last year during a year in which we experienced our strongest organic growth. So really, it's more about availability of the right asset at the right price, which fits well with our business and our strategy.
But But then is there anything into the pipeline in the near term?
I'll say there's always something in the pipeline, in the sense that in any 12-month period in the last 2 to 3 years, we would have looked at 25 to 30 companies. So that averages something like 2 companies a month. So which is why I say there's always things in the pipeline. You know, it's a bit like the investment business. It's a low yield game. You look at many, many assets. You decide to pursue further on a small number of those. And on a much smaller number, do you contemplate making a bid? And on an even smaller number, does that bid actually succeed? So there's, it's like a sales activity. There's a funnel. There are always companies towards the top, but it takes time for something to really, you know, fructify and get to the bottom in execution.
Okay, okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. PD, my first question was on FY17 outlook. You said second half you expect some pickup. So is this confidence based on the fact that these projects will the tailing off of these projects will complete, and therefore the demand from other portion of the business will take care of the growth, or you have certain projects in the pipeline which will start ramping up in second half, which is giving you the confidence?
It's a combination of both those things, but it's more the former than the latter. So, you know, we've had some short-term projects running which are ending. We have some known client engagements which we know are going to end in the next 6 months. So from that perspective, even though we may have a reasonably healthy gross sales pipeline for the next 6 months, net sales growth or net revenue growth will be muted, as Rohitash has indicated, because of these headwinds. As we move to the second half of the financial year, we think the headwinds will slow down or abate, and therefore the same run rate of gross sales will yield into higher net revenue growth.
Okay. So, I mean, where I was coming from was that last couple of quarters and even next 2 quarters, it appears that the growth is increasingly dependent on the shorter term projects. So is it because structurally in the financial services domain, because of the focus on automation, the growth has actually slowed down and we are not able to fill up the gap, you know, because of the automation, the work that, or the volume that we might be losing?
Anjan, do you want me to respond or do you want to respond?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So, you know, I think short-term projects are actually an outcome of 2 or 3 different underlying root causes. There's the work on financial services around automation and change, which tends to be short-term in nature. Even some of the analytics work we are doing, particularly on the digital side, tends to be more project-oriented because somebody is asking you to solve a business problem or answer a question. So it's very often sold on a project basis, on a non-FTE basis. And also on the cable side, although to a much lesser extent, we've seen some short-term projects. So I would say the higher value-add services, if I were to generalize so much, tend to be more project-oriented and less FTE-denominated and, you know, less 2-year, 3-year contracts. They tend to be higher value-add, 6-month, 9-month, 3-month engagements. So yes, if the point you're making is the business seeing an evolution, it is. And you will see that reflected in our non-FTE mix, which I expect will go down, you know, over the next couple of years because of this shift.
Okay, that's helpful. One last question I have is, the share buyback, last time we tried using the tender offer, which was not very successful. So are we looking at doing the share buyback from open market as well?
You know, I think it's too early to say, because as Rohitash also mentioned, we have a court overseen merger process underway between our cable subsidiary company in India and the parent entity. And as you might know, SEBI regulations don't allow other corporate actions while this is underway. So we are waiting for that process to get completed, and then we can conduct a proper review of what our different options are and what would make the most sense both for the company and the shareholders.
Okay, great, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Desai from Axis Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question. Quickly, could you all give some sense in terms of what is the outlook on the cable and the digital space? And just a follow-up post that in terms of what is our expectation of levers that we have in terms of arresting the margin decline that we are probably looking at in FY17?
PD, do you want me to take the first one, you the second one?
Sure.
So, you know, we continue to see growth from the cable industry. Again, it's an industry, just like all other industries, which is going through number of client events, right? There's mergers and acquisitions of large scale happening at the moment, more regulatory pressure, and there's obviously technology change, which with the cable and telco guys being challenged more and more by things like free-to-air video and even the likes of Google and eBay. So, you know, it's a wait-and-watch scenario, but we continue to see, reasonably healthy pipeline in that business. PD?
Yeah, so I guess your question around outlook on digital and margin. So on the digital front, I would say there is a reasonably good pipeline, both around analytics and around marketing communication, creative services, as well as cloud-linked services around demand generation. The challenge there for us is because of the productivity of these technologies, these opportunities do not typically become large dollar values for us because, you know, the technologies are very scalable. Once you implement an analytics solution, whether you're using it to analyze 50,000 transactions or 5 million transactions, there is no linear increase in revenue for us as you scale it. So that's the challenge on the digital side. We have a strong pipeline, but those pipeline typically consists of many opportunities, each of which are not very large by themselves. On the margin question, you know, I think by way of context, FY16 was a high water mark in some senses at 34%, particularly when you keep in mind the fact that this includes a CLX contribution of almost 10% plus to our revenues, which comes at much lower margins. So really in FY17, we expect to see some kind of mean reversion to a slightly lower margin number. Our long-term goal has been to stay in and around the 30% range. So, you know, it's too early to say exactly where we end up in FY17, but hopefully we stay, you know, somewhere north of 30%.
Sure. Just in terms of what would be the levers that you would probably be able to employ in terms of, you know, coming towards the 30% mark, if at all, is that what we are looking at in FY17?
Well, I think it's ultimately the same things. It's around utilization because employee cost is our single biggest item of cost. And from a increment perspective, Rohitash already shared with you that we've done the increments for FY17, so that bullet is fired. So now the remaining lever we have is around utilization of resources through the remainder of the year. There is also looking at, you know, from a revenue perspective, looking at short-term projects and so on, which typically come at higher margin. So to the extent we can have some of those in the mix, that helps improve the margin number. From an SG&A standpoint, you know, we've already hit scale at close to 10,000 employees. The sizes of our facilities are such that we are already achieving economies of scale. So I really don't expect much goodness on that front. So it's, I think the big levers for us are mainly around utilization and employee cost that we can continue to use.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please proceed.
Thanks. Could you possibly break up the one-off nature of the margin or the cost catch-up this time due to the variable pay or provisioning you did over the course of this year versus the sustainable nature of the lower cost thanks to the shorter duration projects, which were lower margin, as you said, that have ended?
Hi, Ankur, Rohitash here. The effect that you're asking for is more prevalent in Q4. But I would say that if you look at the full year numbers, those are fairly representative. And there is no reason to believe that the short-term projects that we executed on in FY16, we will not have some of those at least, redone in FY17. So to that extent, I would say, the full year number definitely is very close to, the current business mix number.
Okay, so the 500 basis point shift we saw this quarter, it's not possible to sort of break up into like 200 is this, 300 is that, just for the sake of, you know, how do we project from here onwards?
Ankur, if you look at the operating margin bridge slide, that gives the breakup in terms of, you know, the main drivers on the downside were employee cost as a proportion of operating revenue, which is primarily due to CLX addition, as netted off by some statutory obligations that were revalued. That was more than offset by the currency and the amortization policy change. So if you exclude that, you know, the net number, if you exclude especially the amortization policy, which is only accounting change, the delta becomes, you know, roughly around 400 bips as opposed to 500 bips. And I think that's the equivalent number they should compare with the FY15.
Okay, fine. Just on the point that, you know, PD mentioned that, you know, you want to, you know, take your margins towards the long-term average, but I'll just point out that your long-term average actually has been 36% till we saw the volatility in FY15 and 16, and even if I include FY15, the average was 34%, so it's significantly higher than what you alluded to. But the question for me here is, you know, if I look at the, you know, demand environment right now, in 6 months ago, you were quite early in pointing out you'll see a bit of a softness, and, you know, you was basically panned out the way you said, but in the last 6 months it's been a very volatile period for most of your customers, especially on the banking side. So your view right now, is this because you're a bit conservative in terms of what customers are doing? Is this baking in any level of conservatism in terms of perhaps slowdown, because the trading revenues of most of your customers have taken a massive beating in the last 6 months? I was wondering how you're thinking about that for the near term and more, the more longer term there.
PD, do you want me to take that one?
Sure.
So actually, the trailing revenues of our customers have been taking a beating, not for the last 6 months, but in some instances for the last 4 years. You know, so for example, if you look at some of the investment banks or the commercial banks that we've been working with, for the parts of the businesses that we support, revenue has declined by, you know, 50 to 80% in some instances. So, you know, the fact that we've grown in that environment is actually pretty remarkable. And a lot of it is about the diversification that we've been investing in over the last 5 years. You know, I think if you look across the board, there isn't a tremendous amount of revenue growth at all across most industries and most of our client companies. And I'm sure that's not just a function of us. It's certainly the case for larger, you know, IT organizations that derive much more money from these organizations. So, you know, I think there continues to be a fair amount of uncertainty about where things go. And I think a lot of it ultimately is also, you know, macro-driven. So to the extent that, you know, we get reasonable GDP growth and we get confidence back in the markets and money velocity increases, transactions increase, and that finally leads to revenue growth for our client base or the industry base, then I think that will translate into performance for guys like us as well. But at the moment, you know, you have to look in the near term, and you can see that there's a fair amount of uncertainty.
So, does your guidance bake in the uncertainty? I mean, should we be ready to be surprised in either direction?
PD, do you want to talk about guidance?
Yeah, you know, Ankur, I tried to answer this in an earlier question on this call. Look, to be honest, our guidance reflects our base case based on whatever we know about upside and downside over the next 6 months. So it's not like we are trying to create either an optimistic bias or a pessimistic bias. You know, there can always be surprises in either direction because ultimately we are still a very small company, you know, small P&L. So individual events can swing it by 2-4% plus minus either way. But from what we see, I think it's fair to say the first 6 months looks pretty soft. And hopefully after that, we think that the headwinds slow down a little bit and we should see better growth.
And the headwinds are limited to, you know, the financial services business, a few customers, which is why you have the clarity that, you know, this should begin to ease off.
Yeah, it's there are customers in financial services which are contributing to this. But, you know, we also have projects ending in other businesses. But clearly to the point Rohitash also made earlier in the call, in terms of the relative growth of our three businesses in FY17, based on what we know sitting today, we would bet that cable grows the fastest, followed by digital, followed by financial services.
Understand. Could you perhaps remind us how the split of the business is based on, breakup between financial services, digital, Agilist, and CLX?
Rohitash, do you want to take that?
So, Ankur, we have formally not disclosed the vertical split. But as you would know or have guessed from the past, that roughly in 40% or thereabout, 40 to 45% is digital, which is the largest vertical, followed by financial services in terms of size, which will be somewhere around 30% or thereabouts. And as we have mentioned in the past, cable business at the year exit was roughly north of $45 million run rate. So that will give you a rough split.
Understand. So, given you're still, most confident about growth in cable, we've seen the growth rates being quite high so far. Are you significantly confident that, the sort of 30% plus growth we've seen in the past cannot be repeated? I'm just going to get a sense of where you're seeing the range of growth there.
Didi, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, Ankur, is your question about 30% growth on cable or 30% growth for the company?
For cable only, not for the company.
Yeah. So, at some point, I'm sure you'll appreciate the law of large numbers starts kicking in. So when we bought the business, it was $15 million in revenue. To create a 30% growth rate on that meant adding $5 million. At $45 million, it means adding $15 million. So it becomes, significantly more difficult to maintain the same percentage growth rates. Having said that, I think we expect cable to grow much faster than the remaining two businesses. So it may not be 30%, but I think it will still be a very, very respectable number, hopefully in FY17.
Okay. And just lastly, any revenue or cost synergies you've been able to identify from CLX? It's been close to a year since you bought it.
Well, again, there was never any attempt or the thesis was never about creating cost synergies. So we haven't really done that. It was a well-functioning business. We didn't really want to restructure it in any way. The thesis was more around the standalone business plus potentially revenue synergies. So talking about that standalone, that business has met its growth targets in FY16. And from a revenue synergies perspective, we're now actually pretty close to cross-selling their creative services into two or three of our legacy digital clients in our organic business. So I think there are a lot of green shoots, at least as far as that cross-selling opportunities and revenue synergies go. We expect that, we are counting on some of that to count towards our FY17 revenue numbers.
Understand. Thanks and all the best.
And Ankur, to your earlier question on long-term margin averages, I would just like to make a side note that we have undertaken these four large initiatives which we talked about, like analytics or on client-side delivery. And some of these will require investment ahead of the curve, and that may mean that we will essentially reinvest some of the margin in excess of 30% onto that. So just keep that in mind.
Okay, so the core business existing doesn't have margin challenges because you're investing, you want to keep a lower potential band.
So if the opportunity arises, we will definitely make substantial investment in any of those four initiatives, and that may create margin decline from FY16 levels for sure.
Understand. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address queries from all participants, you are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. Our next question is from the line of Grishma Shah from Malabar Investments. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. I just have one doubt. Is there some reclassification in the emerging client revenues for quarter four?
I don't think we have disclosed quarter four emerging revenues. We have disclosed only the year-by-year revenues.
That is in the presentation, but if you look at the investor sheet, the number that I have for quarter four is $10 million. Is that number correct?
Okay, I will check on that and send you an email separately.
Yeah, because also in the presentation, you're mentioning that the emerging client revenue is around $46 million. Is that number correct?
Yeah, so I think your doubt may be that, now the emerging clients mean non-top 10. So if you are comparing with the previous world where we were classifying them as non-top 5, there will be a difference. So $46 million number looks almost correct to me given that top 10 concentration is 77%.
Okay, so we should not look at the first three quarters of FY16. There's no point looking at those numbers for the emerging client numbers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Shashi Bhushan from IDFC Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question again. Did you mention that wage hike impact captured in Q4 or is it going to get captured in Q1? And can you please quantify the wage hike and impact?
Ritesh.
So Shashi, that is from Q1 onwards because wages will be effective from 1st April. We have already shared the increment number, roughly 10% for offshore and around 4% for onshore. And you can create a blended impact given that our employee cost is about 38 to 39% of total operating revenue.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. First question is regarding the integration of CLX. So if you could comment on that, if that's behind us.
PD, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Yes, I would say the integration is mostly done. It's been more than a year since we acquired the firm. And really, it was what I would call a light touch integration because we haven't touched too much of their delivery model. We've integrated the front end sales and business development teams. In fact, the erstwhile CLX CEO is now the head of our combined teams in Europe. And also, we have tried to augment capacity for them by creating some production capability in India. So those are the main things we've done apart from sort of the corporate integration of accounts and audit and so on and so forth. So long answer, but yes, it's all done now.
Okay. And then the second question is regarding the change in going away from ESOPs to deferred cash incentives. Could you comment about why, how you guys are thinking about it and why make that change?
Anjan, do you want me to take that?
Why don't you take it?
You know, I'd say there were two or three driving factors behind this. One is there have been a lot of changes in regulations in India, which have sort of, you know, tightened the trading norms for insiders and so on and so forth. And the compliance or the consequences of a non-compliance, even administrative or trivial, by an employee is fairly severe, both for the individual as well as for the company. The second factor is, you know, we've had an increase with the growth in the company. We've had an increase in the number of people getting these ESOPs. And since we were capping the dilution at a certain level, therefore, the per person grants were becoming smaller year upon year. So now if you put these two things together, you have an increased number of recipients getting a smaller number of shares in, as grants in an environment where even administrative non-compliances can create a lot of censure and issues with SEBI and so on. So what we've done is for the more junior employees who were getting smaller grants, we've replaced that with cash equivalent instruments of equal or higher value so that they don't have to deal with all the trading compliances and SEBI compliances that come with the option program in India. This is even more important for our onshore employees in different geographies who may not be fully familiar with the requirements under the Indian regime. And it was always a challenge to, you know, to sort of assist them with their compliance requirements. So that's the idea, is that for the more junior employees, free them up from the burden of compliance in India and replace that that instrument with something of equal or higher economic value. For the more senior employees, in fact, we've gone the other way. So restricted the pool to a smaller number, given them more options on average per person, you know, to create more of a sense of ownership. And we believe for that smaller, more senior pool, you know, that burden of compliance is worth it. So that's been the basic thinking behind the redesign of the program.
That's very helpful. And if I can slip in one more. You know, how many salespeople have actually hit their targets for fiscal year 16, if you can comment on that?
So, Piri, do you want me to take that?
Sure.
So we've had a total of, I think, four guys out of what I would call a pure play sales guys that have hit hit targets. And we'd have a total of what I would say seven or eight pure play sales guys. The rest of the organization, which is the 80 onshore guys, get paid as account managers, and they don't get paid on what I would call individual targets. They get paid on business targets. And of our three businesses, one of the businesses would have hit target, and the other two would not.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please proceed.
Sir, how many new employees likely to be inducted this year?
Ritesh.
So, Ravi, we don't have any formal guidance even internally for hiring outlook. The reason for that is because traditionally we have executed, you know, large number of projects or statement of works for our almost 150 plus clients. And because of that, you know, the team sizes are fairly small of, you know, 5 people, 10 people or thereabouts. Okay. And if an attrition happens or if a further growth happens in any of those individual statement of works or projects, it's a matter of hiring a couple of guys over a day or week. And that is pretty easily manageable through regular walkings that we conduct. So we don't need to plan very long term, basically.
Okay. Because this attrition level is very high, so that's the no planning for mass recruitment or such type activities?
So no, Ravi. So as I mentioned, our business is fairly fragmented in terms of team sizes.
Okay.
Even when the attrition happens, obviously you are seeing 33% number, which is for the full year, right?
Yeah.
It is not that has happened over 1 month or 1 week. It has been fairly spread over all the weeks of the year, right?
Yes.
So in a week, typically, you know, attrition will happen of maybe, let's say, 20 guys. I'm just making it up. And hiring those 20 guys spread over a week, spread over three different cities that we operate in is not difficult at all.
Okay. Sir, but one thing I would like to tell, sir, so much good pristine balance sheet and working, in spite of such good things, if I listen your last 3-4 con call, you have never tell anything positive thing, talk. Always you remain very moderate, the growth will be moderate, the margin will be moderate, but the things are different. So I can't understand still why you are not talking in positive way and what is the purpose. But really, your working is so nice and so fine. I can salute here only. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, we'll take that compliment. Those are few and far between.
Yes.
We can move on to the next question.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management of eClux for closing comments. Over to you.
Do you want to take that?
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining the call, and we look forward to talking with you again, I guess, in 2 months' time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of eClux Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.